Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Appreciate you joining us. And David, we were discussing in the last couple of segments who our most hated pro sports franchises were, and this could be from any time, when you're growing up, when you're watching a team, maybe who you hate now. Do you have a team out there in the pro sports world that you just cannot stand for whatever reason?
I mean, I guess the Patriots would be on that, list.
They were on a lot of people's list.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sort of ever present for so long, that's a big part of it, but I never really had a ton, I suppose. I grew up watching more college sports anyway, but I'd say probably the Patriots.
Who did you, growing up in Arkansas, did you have any pro teams that you really got attached to or no?
Not particularly, just a lot of Arkansas. The Rick Pitino Kentucky teams, anytime they came to town, that was always entertaining. But Arkansas is a little bit weird, because all the places that Arkansas actually cares about are all the schools in Texas that they grew up hating in the Southwest Conference.
Right.
And they don't really care about anyone in the SEC, even, you know, what it's been 20, almost 30 years. There's still no one that Arkansas fans, like 365, care about. Arkansas fans hate Texas. That's pretty much it. They don't particularly care about anyone else. And Texas, I'm not sure Arkansas would make their top 10 of most hated programs. So it's a weird existence in Arkansas.
So, David, speaking of Arkansas, as you look ahead to this matchup against Arkansas for Tennessee, what do you think the formula is for Tennessee to go in there and come away with a win?
Well, this is going to be about a 30-minute speech, but I will shorten it to don't turn the ball over. That's what it is. Jerry Pruitt's been talking about it all week, and it's oversimplistic. Every coach talks about it. But the reality is, Tennessee, why did they self-destruct against Georgia in the second half? It's turnovers. That's what happened. Why did they lose to Kentucky? Turnovers. I mean, that you can't put yourself in a 14-0 hole against a team with a really good defense and a really powerful offensive line and a good running game. You can't do that. And that's what they did. Alabama's Alabama, whatever. But if they, tie or win the turnover battle, they're going to win this ball game. If they lose the turnover battle, they're probably going to lose this ball game. I really think it's that simple. I mean, Tennessee, I've been talking for, months on this. When they were winning 6 and 8 in a row, they weren't beating great teams. They were probably, people were overstating how good that team really was. Now they're losing 3 in a row. Everyone feels like the sky is falling. This team's never going to win another game. They're probably going to be fine. They played one bad game because of turnovers. This team is better than it has looked in the last 3 weeks. So, Arkansas is still, one of the Cinderella stories of all of college football right now. A good team, a team capable of winning this game. But if Tennessee shows up and plays anything close to the way that they played on the back half last season, which was good but not great very often, they'll be fine, and that's what it is.
So, at quarterback, we know it's going to be Garantano. As you've already pointed out, it really is like take care of the ball, run the football like you can run it against certainly an improved defense, but not a defense that you can't run on. And just have enough balance and be fine. But if he does make the critical mistake, first of all, do you think that the patience for him is going to be shorter moving forward here? And then who's next?
I think it definitely has to be. I think that it's all going to come down to not to be a broken record, but turnovers. If he misses some throws, they're going to put up with that. But if it's a situation where, you know, he's throwing ugly picks, you know, like a lot of the ones he's thrown this year, you know, they can't, there's not going to be a lot of patience for that. You know, I think, you know, if it's early, first three or four drives, and he throws an ugly pick, I think you're going to see somebody come off the bench. Now, if I'm a betting man, I think I might say that Harrison Bailey would be the first guy up. You know, they haven't really said much about what that number two spot looks like. Jerry Pruitt said it's pretty open. But I think they know what they have in all these other guys. And I think that there's definitely a curiosity and a sense that, you know, Harrison Bailey has really, you know, impressed them the last few weeks in those scrimmages and the reps that he got when he really got almost no reps in camp. So I think I'd probably bet on Harrison Bailey to being the guy that comes off the bench in the event that Jerick Garantano starts racking up a couple turnovers and puts Tennessee in a hole.
Well, I think that makes sense. My next question on that, and you're thinking about quarterback room management, would we be talking about Harrison Bailey and you know, the incoming freshman and nobody else in that room next year? You know, I mean, you have to think about those things too, right, when you're making these decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you do. But I still think it's about, you know, sort of find the best guy and let the chips fall where they may. You know, as much as they would hate to lose, you know, other guys if they feel like they got passed up by Harrison Bailey, if Harrison Bailey is the guy that you hope you got when you signed and he's showing signs of that immediately, I think they'd take that trade off if it costs them depth and you know, a couple guys transfer out. I think no question that would have to be team. It's they're not in a good situation at the quarterback spot. I think that's certainly in year three a pretty stark commentary on you know, their development, evaluation, recruitment of quarterbacks, and they've got to fix that. So, you know, they'd certainly hope that Harrison Bailey's the guy. That you got to, you know, probably trim some things down offensively. Maybe have him read half the field. We'll see what they do. But it's going to be interesting because, like I said, the leash has probably never been shorter for Jerick Garantano.
David Uppen from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, switching gears to the other side of the ball, the defensive line obviously has gotten a lot of attention this year. Jeremy Pruitt makes the decision to fire Jimmy Brumbaugh. Don't we need to see some sort of significant improvement on that line since Jeremy Pruitt has taken over at some point the rest of this season to justify that move? What's kind of your view there with the defensive line and the move that Jeremy Pruitt made?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily about improving as much as saving off stagnation, I guess, which, I mean, that group, it's an odd move because, you know, that group last year was really improved throughout most of the year, and then they bring back quite literally every person that contributed in a game last year. And then this year, you'd think they'd be improved, and they're not. And that's, you're trying to sort of stop that trend, which was a big issue. So, you know, ultimately, I think it comes down to wins, and if they start winning games, going to care about the defensive line. So it's whatever choice Jerry Pruitt makes at the end of the season, you know, everybody's going to be sort of, you know, singing their praises and hosting a parade. But if they lose and they're 4-6 or 3-7 or whatever, I mean, that's going to be a pretty scrutinized search. That's sort of just what it is, you know. But, you know, I don't think that there's a ton, you know, there. You can't get bullied up front like they did against Kentucky, where it looks like the effort's not there. But that's the first time I've seen that, really, since Georgia State, where they're just getting beat up front, and you're wondering what the heck is happening. How is that really possible? So, yeah, I think they have to improve, but I don't think they have to all of a sudden be great. I think you just have to avoid performances like we saw against Kentucky, where you're just getting pushed around.
So you wrote this week, David, at theathletic.com, about some of the freshmen who could potentially have bigger roles here in the second half, you know, had more work for some of these guys. You mentioned Key Lawrence, you know, maybe at the star position, but also Amari Thomas. I mean, do you think some of those guys, Bryson Eason, another guy you wrote about, that, you know, they could really start showing up a lot more, you know, from Saturday on?
Yeah, that piece I wrote at The Athletic, it's pretty much written in the order of which I think you're going to see, you know, these guys, or who you see the most. I think Key Lawrence at the top of that list, you know, they know he can play. And I think it's probably going to be a star corner where, you know, they really struggled in the opener. And Danico Slaughter, you know, looks like he's kind of gone into witness protection program. I'm not sure what happened to him. him after the opener. He didn't have a great game, but we haven't seen him at all. But, you know, once Sean Schamberger has come back, it hasn't really fixed the issues over the middle, which weirdly weren't an issue last year. So I think you're going to see Key Lawrence get some time there, maybe get in the rotation at corner now that he's gotten more time and being able to, you know, they use that off week to sort of replace one of their weeks of camp. So, yeah, I think Key Lawrence at the top of that list. You know, they want to expand the running back rotation. You can never have too many of those guys. So, you know, we've seen a little bit of Javari Smollett, and I've seen him a little more. And then, you know, Key Hodges and Dee Beckwith will be in the mix. And, you know, Malachi Wideman as well. You know, I think they'll see him get some more time. So, you know, Amari Thomas, I think, has the most to gain. I think he's played more and more and more as the season's gone on. And he has the most upside. And when you've got a new defensive line coach, you know, it's certainly going to be looking at things with fresh eyes. And I don't think you have a single guy in that group that has the kind of upside that Amari Thomas has.
David Ubben from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, appreciate you taking time to join us, my man, as always. And have fun at the game this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Going to be an interesting game tomorrow for Tennessee in that matchup against Arkansas. And when we come back, we'll break that matchup down a little bit. What's the pathway to success for Tennessee in this game against Arkansas? We'll react to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
I like Arkansas in this game. And the reason is that Tennessee, I think, is going to run into the balance of the Arkansas offense. And I think they'll be a little better at quarterback. I think that playing on the road is going to make a difference. I think Tennessee will put up a great fight. But Arkansas, the way they're playing and the confidence that they had in playing A&M so well last week will push the Razorbacks over the top.
On guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
That was Trevor Maddich on Jerry with the Jared and GM earlier in the week predicting Arkansas to win the game tomorrow night against Tennessee. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, I don't think a gigantic surprise that he picks Arkansas to win that game, but I think heading into the season, that would have been a big surprise.
That's a bit of a stunner. I was also stunned by the song choice there by Elijah. I'm like, I hope this is a lyric-free version.
That's
which,
one of
which
those
it
songs
was.
That if it's not lyric-free, you know right away.
Yes.
Immediately.
If it is a clean version or if it is not.
I was like, I cringed from it. Like, okay. All right, we're good. We're good. Yeah, the Trevor, I don't know, man. That's a bit surprising to me. Because, I mean, honestly, I was actually a little bit surprised by Ubben's positivity, though, too. You know?
I mean, Tennessee's only a 1.5 point favorite in this game.
Sure, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Basically a pick 'em, basically.
Yeah. I guess I'd lean a little bit Ubben's way on don't screw it up and – you should win the game, not comfortably, not running away, but you should win the game if you don't screw it up.
So is the formula that simple for Tennessee in terms of, hey, if you don't turn the ball over in this game, you're going to win. You're just the more talented team. You should win the game if you don't turn the ball over. Is the formula that simple?
Well, and also, I mean, the one thing about Felipe Franks is – he's not a consistent or great quarterback, but he can hit you with the big play. So that to me is another
which Tennessee
one.
Fans should know very well that yes. Felipe Franks
oh,
can do that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That would be the other thing to go with turnovers to me. Don't let the ball go over your head and give them huge plays and long touchdowns. Make them earn it, earn their way down the field. Get Felipe Franks in third downs, and you know he can be a little bit erratic. And then – yeah, don't turn it over on offense. And I think if those two things happen, you should win.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, says Tennessee just has to beat Vanderbilt and hope that the hot seat doesn't heat up too much next year. Well, let me tell you this. If the only team they beat left on their schedule is Vanderbilt, that hot seat's going to be on fire heading into next year.
Scorching.
Yes.
Yeah, 3-7, that's not gonna cut it. It's not going to get them fired.
No.
But it'll be very uncomfortable.
Yes. Heading into next year, it would be very interesting for Jeremy Pruitt if they finish 3-7. That's why this game to me is so huge, because you've heard me say it multiple times this week. I think it's the biggest game in Jeremy Pruitt's tenure so far at Tennessee. If you lose this game, there's going to be a ton of negativity around the program. There's going to be, I think, a hit you take in recruiting as well. And then, quite frankly, you look at the rest of the schedule. You got A&M coming up after this one, and then Auburn. And then Vanderbilt, and then Florida. You feel great about the Vanderbilt game. You lose to Arkansas, there's at least a decent chance you're losing all three of those games to A&M, Auburn, and Florida. So this is a massive one for Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee.
Yeah, and it's the program thing that we've talked about, which is how could you here in year three go to that program in year one and
yeah.
they're ahead of you? One game doesn't always mean a program's ahead of another, but, man, that's an overall body of work for Arkansas that's flat out better than Tennessee's. How could you let that happen?
Yeah.
It's really not excusable, even though this is, hey, all credit to Arkansas. It's been a really impressive debut from Sam Pittman. They've got some good players, but it shouldn't happen.
So if you're Jim Chaney in this game offensively for Tennessee, what is your game plan to attack Arkansas defensively? And I guess I'm asking this in one of two ways. Number one, what's the formula you go with in terms of the plays that you call? And number two, how comfortable do you think you should be knowing that Garantano is the quarterback of expanding your playbook and getting a little bit more creative than what we've seen out there so far with Tennessee's offense?
Well, that's to me, it's like be unpredictable, you know, throw some on first down, get him comfortable. I feel like you get Garantano some short throws, get a little rhythm going, but take shots too. I mean, he's done well taking those shots.
He is not a bad thrower of the deep ball.
No.
I mean, he throws the deep ball pretty well. Now, you wish he could throw like a 12-yard route over the middle as well as he can throw the deep ball sometimes, and certainly I understand that. I've watched him play a lot. Garantano throws the deep ball pretty well for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, if you get picked on a deep ball, then it's like you punted. You
exactly.
know, when you don't see the linebacker over the middle or you throw across the field, like Pruitt said, you know, to try to gain 4 yards, you throw it 50. No, those are the plays that get you in trouble. But you gotta be able to utilize Garantano and your receivers. I mean, you have really good receivers. So personnel is part of the Jim Chaney plan too, to me. It's Jalin Hyatt. Use him. I still shade a little bit toward Eric Gray, but I mean, both backs, but Eric Gray to me is a guy that you really want to feature, I think. You know, keep going to Josh Palmer. Give him a lot of targets. Maybe use the tight end every once in a while. You know, Princeton Fant, give him a little work. But, yeah, be less predictable, a little bit more deceptive. It's looked vanilla and ineffective. And then when you compound that with turning it over, then it's just a bad operation. I mean, the overall production's bad.
It is. And I'm not saying that Jim Chaney needs to go out there and, like, run a double reverse pass or anything like that. We're not saying the trick plays have to happen, but add a little bit more to your repertoire than running an out route or a go route. I mean, maybe a slant. I don't know. When's the last time they ran a slant? That'd be nice. Add that to your playbook a little bit. Get a little bit more creative with what you're asking your receivers to do and find a way, even if it's early, to get the ball in your hands, similar to what the Titans do with A.J. Brown. Get it in your playmaker's hands quickly. Get the ball to Josh Palmer quickly. See what he can do after the catch. See what Velus Jones can do after the catch. I mean, that guy has been a ghost,
yeah.
And I'm not sure how much of it is due to him and how much of it is they're just not getting him the ball. He's got speed that Tennessee really hasn't had at the receiver position in a long time.
Yeah, I don't totally understand it with him. I mean, I'm assuming there's a route running thing maybe with him. I mean, they've done the little receiver screen. They've done little jet sweeps to him. But, yeah, he's looked at times electric with the ball.
Yeah.
And certainly he has the speed. So you gotta scheme that up and find ways to get him the ball.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland texts in, if I see Jarrett Garantano on the field this week, so help me God. You've had 2 weeks to get another quarterback ready. Well,
yeah, well,
you're going to see him. He's starting this game.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt's already come out and said that.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's good or not, I mean, I think we kind of know the answer at this point. It's not great. But the options behind him at this point, I think this shows me, the last 3 weeks here shows me Tennessee's coaching staff has zero confidence in Brian Maurer and JT Shrout. And Harrison Bailey just hasn't been ready up until this point. I agree with David, who we had on in the last segment. I think if the lease is short and you've got to make a decision in this game to pull Garantano, I think Harrison Bailey is going to be the first one that comes in. I really do.
Yeah, that was a question I've had. And I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I still think it could be Maurer.
It's not going to be Shrout. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, it won't be Shrout. But if it is Bailey, then, yeah, to me, That, like, seriously, coaches do think about that stuff, though. They think about, am I going to get all the other guys transferring out if I go to the freshman here? Because why would they think? I mean, they've been passed over officially now. We've all seen it. And you don't want to have no depth in the quarterback room next year, you know?
You don't, but like at this point, how much depth do you really have if you can't trust them to go out there and play?
Yeah.
Like, it's not really depth if you can't trust them to play over a true freshman at this point.
Well, unless a guy like Brian Maurer could – the light could go on, he could have a great offseason.
Sure.
You know, but, I mean, it's a big – if all of a sudden you lose Garantano, Shrout, and Maurer next year, now it's Harrison Bailey, which is already asking a guy a lot to come in at that point in his career. And it's all you, and then behind him you have a freshman.
They got more recruits coming in, though, Joe. More recruits.
That's right. Crude it up, man. Keep cruiting. And, you know, you always got the grad transfer option out there. That happens a lot in college football. But bottom line is, if Harrison Bailey is the better option, that's an easy choice.
Yeah.
But it's not – I think some Vols fans want them to think about next year. And that's – they're not making that decision based on that. If they go to Bailey, though, first of all, I think it probably speaks well of him. And it just confirms again that those other two guys just have no trust and haven't done what's needed to get it, but also that the coaches haven't done enough to get them there.
When we come back, it's that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll pick this Vols game along with a list of other games around both pro and college football. That's coming up next. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel. And you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee. And I can tell you personally that I have already had some fun on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's been very good to me so far, and I hope it continues to be so this weekend. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. And if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And there's some interesting matchup this week, both in college football and in the NFL. And one I've got my eye on is that Sunday night contest between Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Some interesting new pieces coming into the fold for Tampa Bay offensively. How will that affect them? We'll have to find out on Sunday night. And with the FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. And it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pigskin Pick'em. We pick games all around college football and the NFL, including local games here. And Joe, this is the first time in like 4 weeks we've had Vandy, Vols, and Titans all being eligible to be picked on the same weekend. So very much looking forward to that. And, Joe, very quickly, we'll toss it to a quick standings update from you.
Yeah, it's very close. It is very close. And I'll tell you, the Munson Porth team, Morth, they came from way back, and they are now in pretty good shape.
They
actually
are.
Technically, the leader at 15-15 overall, with 19 points, 4-2 on locks. You also have 19 points, but you're 14-16. You are 5-1 on your locks. So overall, a game behind, which is a tiebreaker. But your locks, you are the locks leader. I am the locks worst locker.
The locks loser?
Locks loser. There you go. I'm 15-15, 18 points, 3-3 on my lock, so I'm a point behind you guys. Very, very tight.
Very tight race here. Elijah Campbell in the house today. You will be picking for Ryan Porth. Am I correct in that assumption?
I will be reading off Ryan Porth's picks.
Okay,
If he gets them wrong, he cannot blame me.
It's all on him.
Yes, it is all on him. I am just the messenger. So if there's anyone who needs to be shooting, it will not be me.
That's fine. Let's start with Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, a game that outsiders may think is very boring, but to me this is very interesting. A 19-point favorite, Mississippi State, in this game. Mississippi State hasn't scored 19 points in like 5 weeks. So a very interesting line there. Vanderbilt can't stop anybody defensively right now. Joe, we'll start with you. Who do you have in this game? Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, minus 19, the line for Mississippi State.
Vegas is good because this is tough. I mean, at first glance, I think a lot of people look at this and say, are you kidding me? Vanderbilt's, I mean, they give up to 50 to whoever, and it doesn't matter. And, man, Mississippi State has just been utterly inept. Utterly inept.
Yes.
It's incredible how bad they've been. I'm sitting here right now, and I'm still going, doesn't know. I'll go Vanderbilt. I'll take the points. I think I'll be alone on this, and I'll probably look stupid Monday, but I'll take the points.
Elijah, who does Porth have in this competition? Mississippi State minus 19.
Portholomew takes Mississippi State in this one, going with the Mad Pirate, Mike Leach.
That's a bold call, and I've gone back and forth on this one because Mississippi State's been so bad on offense. Vanderbilt's been so bad on defense, but I watched that Vanderbilt game last weekend from start to finish. I'm not sure they could have stopped anyone. Give me Mississippi State in this game to cover minus 19. Now, I don't think they're going to cover by a lot, but I think they will cover in this game. Give me Mississippi State. Switching to Tennessee versus Arkansas. We spent a lot of the show talking about that game. Tennessee, a 1.5-point favorite in this one against Arkansas. Elijah, let's start with you. What's Porth's pick in this game?
Ryan Porth says, no Corliss Williamson, no problem. Arkansas over Tennessee.
Wow. Going with the Razorbacks at home, plus 1.5 against Tennessee in that game. I am going to go with the Volunteers. I think they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. I think that they have practiced well. Jeremy Pruitt's got this team in a spot where, very similar to last year, the backs are up against the wall. They have to win this game. I think they will. And because the spread is 1.5, I think Tennessee wins by a touchdown. Make it my lock. This is going to be my lock of the week here. Tennessee minus 1.5 against Arkansas.
Guaranteed.
Locking on the Vols.
It makes me very nervous. It goes against everything I stand for.
Tricky proposition there, yes. But I like the courage. Yeah, I'm also going to go Vols. I mean, basically, like you said, it's a pick'em game. I think they'll win by a possession. I think it'll be something like 27-23. They're a better team. Arkansas, great story. It will be a competitive game, but ultimately I think Tennessee will get a couple turnovers on Felipe Franks, and I think that Garantano will take care of the ball and they'll prevail.
Very nice. So 2 of 3 going with the Vols there. Porth taking the Razorbacks at home plus 1.5. Switching gears, moving along to the NFL. The local matchup this weekend, the Titans hosting the Chicago Bears. Right now the Titans a 6.5-point favorite at home. So you look at that defense, you're like, wow, 6.5-point favorite. That's how bad Chicago's offense has been. I'm going to lead us off here. This has been tough for me because I have been trashing the Titans defense all week. They have been atrocious. But you know what else is atrocious? Nick Foles in that Chicago Bears offense. I think Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, they do just enough to cover the spread in this game. I've got the Titans winning by a touchdown, and it's 6.5, a touchdown plus the extra point, which Steven Goskowski will make this time. I have confidence in it. Give me the Titans minus 6.5 at home against the Bears. Joe, who do you have?
I'm going Bears.
Bears.
Not to win the game, the Bears. Not to win the game, but I got 27-24 Titans as my prediction. And now, of course, that's an interesting prediction. Does that mean that I have 4 touchdowns and 1 missed extra point? Or does that mean I have Goskowski making 2 field goals?
Ooh.
I think it's more the former than the latter, maybe.
You think maybe missing the extra point's the way to go, way to get there?
I think the Titans are going to go for it a lot. They're going to be very aggressive. I think they're going to end up running well. I think you're going to see the first half, the Bears do a great job on Derrick Henry. We see that a lot.
Yeah.
And everybody will react to it, and eventually Derrick Henry will get going. I don't think he's going to have a huge day. But I've got Ryan Tannehill making enough plays. The Titans doing a good enough job of keeping Khalil Mack from totally wrecking the game. And I think they'll get a mistake or two out of Foles and win a very close game.
Elijah Campbell, Ryan Porth selection in the game. Titans minus 6.5 against the Bears.
Ryan has decided to take Joe Rexroad's childhood favorite team, Da Bears.
Oh, going with the Bears in this game.
No comment from him? He doesn't have like a funny comment about, you know, the fridge or anything?
He did say, though, because I responded to his text and said, you're taking Da Bears, huh?
Wait a minute.
He said, against the spread. So I'm sure he insinuates that the Titans are going to win, but.
So his called shots were Clowney's going to have 2 sacks, a strip sack, and a fumble. Derrick Henry's scoring 2 touchdowns, and the Titans are not covering the spread? in this game? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, there's some other things that he thinks are happening in this game that he hasn't explained to us. I mean, we got a couple kick returns.
Yeah.
What do we have going on?
He's got
on
Kevin
here?
Byard having a pick six.
Vic Beasley having a lovely afternoon lunch.
Yeah. So you've got Kevin Byard with a pick six, Clowney with two sacks and a forced fumble. And
Derrick Henry going
twice
with 150
and you
plus.
Don't have the Titans covering the spread in this game. What a ridiculous take from Ryan Poore.
Well, again, it's either like special team stuff, or I guess Foles is, even with all those mistakes and all he's just going to hit shots downfield to the one named Mooney.
I think that's all I'm going to say. I think he's got Mooney having a big game. I think that's the secret weapon for the Bears. It's becoming not so secret anymore.
Can't really blame him there. Now we switch gears. Let's go back into college football. Here's where we deviate and pick our own games around the country. Joe, we'll start with you. As you look at the college football slate, which way are you going this week in college football?
This is I look around every week, and I think college has a lot more potential for some lines that are interesting. I looked at the NFL slate this week. I was like, oh, man, headaches. But I'm tell you what, I'm riding the team that I rode to my lock victory last week. I'm going to lock them again. I've got the Cincinnati Bearcats, a team I believe should be considered as a playoff contender. Home against Houston, 13.5-point favorites. They're going to win by 17+. Give me the Bearcats as my lock.
Guarantee. Rex Road is really good at the locks. He rides college football heavy with his locks.
Yes.
Not much deviation from Rex Road with the locks, but
the
I respect
the NFL
that.
Screwing me over, man.
I respect that. Elijah Campbell, who does Ryan Poore have in college football this week?
It's really funny because he may or may not have also taken the Cincinnati Bearcats against Dana Holgerson's Houston Cougars, and he also...
Guaranteed. So both of y'all putting a lot of eggs in the basket of the Cincinnati Bearcats, and I find this to be funny because I've watched Cincinnati sports. I know how this story ends. Not only could they not cover the spread in this game, they may lose this game.
You might break away from your mountain retreat to watch Houston and root for them.
You think so?
Right? I don't know. I have a feeling.
We'll see. I'm going to go with the big matchup of the week in college football. I know there's no Trevor Lawrence. I know that they've got some problems, and maybe Notre Dame's feeling themselves a little bit this year. I've seen Notre Dame before. I've seen this movie with Notre Dame before. Clemson is -5 against Notre Dame on the road. I think they win by 2 touchdowns in this game. Give me Clemson going on the road and relatively smoking Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I'll believe that they're actually this good when I see it. Give me Clemson -5 against Notre Dame. I really feel good about that one because I've seen Notre Dame. I've seen this movie before.
I like that pick.
With that being said, we'll switch now to the NFL. Elijah, we'll start with Ryan Poore. Who does he have in the NFL for his pick'em this week?
He has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -4.5 against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football.
Ooh, how do you feel about that as a resident Saints fan?
I agree.
Really?
Reluctantly, I agree.
Not a lot of faith in the hometown Saints?
It's the secondary. Secondary is too bad. If poor Janoris Jenkins got bullied by Mooney.
He did.
By the one-name wonder last week. And, I mean, if the Saints are able to do what they did in the first game, and that's get good pass rush on Tom Brady and make him throw ducks and force him into mistakes, it could be a totally different ball game. But the Saints offense still, if there's no Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders, I don't know how well a Marquez Callaway-led Arsenal on the perimeter is going to be able to score a lot of points against the Buccaneers, but it could still happen, but logic tells me that this is probably where they split on the season.
I don't think this is a great week in the NFL for picks, but there was one that stood out to me that I can't really believe the line is as low as it is. Give me the Seattle Seahawks -3 against the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, to me, have been very fraudulent this year. They have not been the same team the last few weeks. And Seattle's offense right now, Russell Wilson playing at an MVP level, maybe getting some reinforcements back on defense coming up this week. DK Metcalf is a freak. Give me the Seahawks -3 against the Bills. Joe, who do you got in the NFL?
Well, we've been ripping Bill Belichick all week, so I'm gonna show some confidence in my guy. And he's got the Jets coming in. And the Patriots have been bad, and you know, it's a struggle, and Cam's not playing great. But Patriots -7. I think the Patriots are going to go ahead and beat the Jets by double figures. I mean, won't most teams beat the Jets by double figures?
You would think.
Give me the Patriots -7.
I mean, the Patriots have been awful on offense as of late, but it's the Jets.
Right.
They can't stop anybody. I like that pick.
I mean, I'd love it if it was 6.5, but yeah, I'll give 7.
That rounds out our picks this week for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Gentlemen, I wish you good luck. Most of all, Elijah, good luck, because you're going to be my friend through this, and you're not picking against me technically. Technically, it's Porth and Rex Road.
It is it is technically Porth. I was just the orator for these picks
today. I wish you best of luck on Sunday night in the battle between the Saints and the Bucs. I'm pulling for the Saints.
Oh, definitely.
Me
definitely
too.
Definitely got to pull for the good guy in Drew Brees over Tom Brady.
You can't pull for an Antonio Brown-led team.
Oh, no.
Karma's going to get him.
That's right.
That's right. We'll be interested to see how he did. I did call for my called shots earlier that Antonio Brown gets a touchdown. So we'll see what happens with that. When we come back, we'll give our final thoughts on the Titans taking on the Bears this weekend. Wrap it up with your text as well, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. But first, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown location. Join this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Bears at Nissan Stadium. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday morning. We were having a discussion earlier in the show about Gunnar Wolf-Fontein, the great name that the Predators drafted in this past draft. Got a text on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, isn't that the name from the Mighty Ducks 2, the Iceland coach? No, that is not. That was Gunnar the Wolf Stanson, not Gunnar Wolf-Fontein. And funny fact, the actor that plays Wolf Stanson in that movie, Mighty Ducks, is my most random Twitter follower. He follows me on Twitter. I have had legitimate hockey discussions with this dude.
Wow.
His name is Karsten Norgard. That's the actor that plays the Iceland coach in D2
wow.
Mighty Ducks. He
that
follows
is
me on Twitter.
Spectacular.
He also plays in The Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime, because you're wondering.
That's very interesting. That's a lot of interesting names flying around.
Yeah.
So
Gunnar Wolf-Fontein. Is that
and the actual name was what? It was Gunnar the Wolf?
Well, in Mighty Ducks, it's Wolf Stanson. So, like, it's not Gunnar Wolf-Fontein. It's Wolf Stanson.
Okay. There's a wolf in it.
Yeah.
Wow. Is Gunnar Wolf-Fontein related to Beowulf by any means?
Maybe.
Man. I remember having to read that in high school.
I've never
Most
in my
thing
life.
Read to read.
Never in my life rooted for a Predators prospect to be good. More than I'm about to root for this dude.
Yeah.
Gunnar Wolf-Fontein. Can you imagine the jerseys that he will sell if he gets here? That may be a reason enough to bring Gunnar Wolf-Fontein up at some point, just for the jerseys they would sell.
Yeah. No, I mean, we all have to root for him. I mean, we're supposed to be unbiased, but we must all band behind Gunnar Wolf-Fontein.
Yeah, the unbiased part of it really goes out the door when you've got a name like that.
Yeah.
It's a marketing dream.
Really, the country needs to unite behind Gunnar Wolf-Fontein.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, hey guys, I know you guys have a schedule to keep, but I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I've spent some teenage and some adult life in Nashville, so my question is this. Is grits just a southern thing to eat? Because nobody likes it up here, and I love grits. They think it's like eating wet sand. Are you a big proponent of grits?
I loved grits when I lived in Michigan.
Really?
Ate them all the time.
So it's not just a southern thing. They have these in Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, now, we don't have Waffle Houses up there, unfortunately. That's where I like their grits.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, I lived in Virginia in high school and stuff, so I've kind of been all over. But, yeah, there are people in the North who like grits. Way fewer people, but it's there.
I got to be honest. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah?
Not a huge fan of the grits.
You got to go butter.
Yeah.
Go heavy on the butter.
That's for sure. I've lived in Nashville my whole life. Not a huge fan of the grits. Have you even had grits?
I love grits.
Really?
Especially Cracker Barrels.
Oh, man.
And got to put, but I'm a butter on my grits guy. My grandmother.
It's got to happen.
Sugar. Some sugar. Sometimes, like, she's nuts. Jelly, too. Like, it's
That's
weird.
A bold move.
It's really weird, but she, like, swears on it. And I've sworn it my entire life. But if grits taste like wet sand, then I also like wet sand. So, count me in.
If you go to a good place and, you know, like a good restaurant and they have shrimp and grits on the menu, it's hard for me to not get the shrimp and grits. I love that dish.
Nice combo there.
Yes.
Undefeated combo.
Got any other good texts on the hated teams? I'm sure we had some.
Oh, we have a ton. We have a ton of texts. And there's a lot of hate rolling in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com for the Patriots and the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees are hated. Now, we talked about maybe Titans fans not really hating the Colts as much as we thought they would. Fred from Ashland City texts in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I hate, all caps, the Colts. Colts number one.
There we go.
On Fred's list. So Fred doesn't care about Peyton Manning. He doesn't care about the crossover fan base here between the Titans and the Vols and they who love Peyton Manning. Fred doesn't care. He hates
good.
The Colts.
I mean, the crossover thing should end when Peyton Manning leaves, right? Why would that still be a thing? Well, Peyton was there, so.
No, it was absolutely a thing.
Right. No, I get it. But now you should double your hate for the Colts because you had all those years of not hating them enough.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in, as a Lakers, Bengals, Yankees, Capitals, and former Supersonics fan, that is a wide gambit right there.
Okay.
I hate all the Texas teams.
Hey,
that's a large state, a large pool to choose from. A
lot of Texas teams.
There's Texas teams.
So what
everywhere.
Do we think the Texas teams have in common against the Lakers, the Bengals, the Yankees, the Capitals, and the Supersonics?
Is that the Mavs and the
Mavs,
Rockets,
Spurs, Rockets,
and the Spurs?
Cowboys, yeah. Texans? It's all sports.
This is Heidi?
Yeah.
This is Heidi who always talks about Joe's Clowney. Is that right?
Yeah,
is that
Joe's
our
Clowney.
Heidi? Yeah, that's a Stillman burner, right? That's a Stillman burner number.
No, I think Heidi's
Heidi,
legit.
Heidi, fess up.
I think Heidi's legit. I think that you're just mad because she's dubbed you as Joe's Clowney now.
Clowney is
your,
Joe's.
Your boy.
He's Joe's
yeah.
player. Okay.
He's your boy.
Why do you hurt me, Heidi?
Why do you hurt me, Heidi? A lot of love for the Celtics. I didn't know the Celtics were like as universally hated as apparently they are.
Oh, yeah. No, again, like, and that's more, that is older people. It's interesting. You guys have your own team of Celtics.
I hate the Celtics.
But certainly older people, either you were a fan of theirs or you hated them. And I think most of the country, I could be wrong on this, but I think most of the country that wasn't unaffiliated, I certainly was like this, rooted for like the Lakers when they played them. If you weren't a Celtics fan, you know, you had to hate those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Larry Bird's punchable face. Come on.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've gotten a lot of votes. About three or four of these have rolled in the last few minutes from Titans fans who hate the Rams based off nothing more than the Super Bowl. The greatest show on turf, losing by 1 yard. Titans fans hating the Rams and hating that team specifically for what they took away from the city of Nashville.
I hadn't thought about that. So was it more bitter 3 years ago when they came in here and Todd Gurley, you know, was that – I mean, I didn't even think about that
Maybe.
Angle that whole time. They move all over the place every few years, so you can't even, you know.
Do we think, like, Kurt Warner is just some hated figure here in Nashville? Like, every time he comes with the NFL Network or whatever he's doing now, that people just hate him? Does he get spit on here in Nashville based off his Super Bowl performance?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I don't know. If I was a Titans fan, I would be more mad instead of at Kurt Warner and the Rams at the end zone not being 1 yard longer.
Yeah.
Why wasn't that a thing?
Did Kevin Dyson break a tackle?
Why couldn't football be played on a 99-yard field? I mean.
See, I think with hockey, I think it's more that way with the Penguins, right? Because already, it's easy to dislike that team. It's easy to dislike Crosby, and then they beat you, and your former guy beat you. So
yeah. There's a lot of Penguins love on the – or I guess love, not the right word, hate.
Yeah.
On the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as well.
A lot of love for Penguins hate.
Yes, a lot of love for Penguins hate. But, like, I still go back to that drive. McNair's drive on that – it was one of the greatest drives I've ever seen to get them down the field.
It was so awesome.
It was unbelievable to watch. So that's why, like, a couple weeks ago when we were having the Tannehill-McNair discussion, like, you look at the numbers right now, pretty much every number goes in Tannehill's favor. And a lot of that is because – that's the way the NFL is nowadays. But number two, like those magic moments that McNair has, we've seen some of them from Tannehill. I still think he's got some work to do there to catch up with McNair in that aspect. Like, I don't know if anything Tannehill can do other than like winning the Super Bowl will top that drive by McNair. It was unbelievable.
Right. And exactly. I mean, Tannehill doesn't have that moment right now. So if it's close and you got to keep the numbers in perspective then versus now, then that's the tiebreaker, right?
Yeah. As we wrap up here, I'm the only one that's got faith in the Titans to cover the spread this weekend. Only one.
So everybody's picking them to win.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, everybody's picking them to win.
So the Bears are going to win.
They do. Man, this show is going to be something else on Monday.
Monday will be
fun. If Nick Foles comes in here and lights up the Titans, we're going to have to, like, disconnect the phone line on Monday. I mean, people are going to go crazy. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But we've seen it. Nick Foles has that random game every now and then where he looks like Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles.
I was going to say, like the Super Bowl, that random kind of game that he just plays really, really well in.
Random time in the Super Bowl. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexer. We'll be back on Monday morning to break it all down. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.